There's others we may look at in the future, but focusing on this one today. And if you're able to stand with us today, Isaiah 40, we're going down to the end of the chapter here. Verse 28 says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word today. Thank You for the encouragement that we have here today. And I pray You'd help us, Lord, as we all go through our waiting times and our times of just trying to get through something. Lord, we think about these graduates today, Lord, and Lord, just grade school, Lord, year after year, class after class, grade after grade, until finally, Lord, they reach graduation. But Lord, there's so many places in life where we go through that similar process, and just waiting, Lord, for You to come through. But God, we know that You're faithful, so we want to go ahead and thank You for that this morning. But Lord, just give us a good reminder today, Lord, that You're with us through it all and You have a plan through it all. And speak to our hearts, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Waiting on God, the path to patience. Isaiah here, chapters 1 through 39 are kind of tough. Chapters 1 through 39 are warnings and judgment and such things as that. And warnings about coming bondage, and they did go into captivity because they wouldn't listen to God. But thankfully, chapter 40 begins a turning point, and it gets more encouraging. And there's a lot of good stuff in Isaiah, a lot of great encouraging verses in Isaiah, right? And Isaiah 40 is a turning point. The people do return from that captivity. They waited, they waited, they waited, and God raised them up again. Amen, right? And there's a lot of other promises that are implied in this. And there's also the promises of the coming Messiah as well that was very encouraging. So the verses that we just read, and primarily verse 31, speaks of a very common theme. And that is sometimes we just have to wait for God to move. We just have to wait for God to speak. We just have to wait to see what God might do and how God might work something out, right? That's a lot of life right there, and that's the Christian life, by the way. It's not just true for others to see how things turn out. You know, you just have to wait and see. I was thinking about school, these kids going through school, grade school and all that. I remember whenever I was in seventh grade, I asked my parents, could I go to a Christian school, because I was in the public school system, and I asked them about it, and they worked it out. They sent me to there was a little independent Baptist church in my town, had a Christian school, had a small school. It was one of those ACE, work at your own pace, which was terrible for me. And I worked at my own pace. So eighth grade, I basically didn't get an eighth grade, to be honest with you. And by the way, I had some spiritual discernment in the seventh grade. I want out of here. I felt uncomfortable. In the public school setting, seventh graders are wicked, by the way. Did you know that? They got filthy mouths, and man, I'm telling you, and it's worse today than it was then, right? And I felt uncomfortable. I was like, I want to go to the Christian school. I had friends that went to the Christian school. I thought, that's where I want to be. I like church. Amen. I want to go. But anyway, it really didn't work out that good for me. And it honestly wasn't good for me academically. It wasn't even good for me spiritually. Did that one year, and then I went ninth grade high school, having basically skipped eighth grade. Played that whole time, by the way. Went to ninth grade. I don't know what happened to me. I'm not a depressed individual, but ninth grade, I don't know if it was just going back or what. I didn't care about anything in the ninth grade. I didn't care. I did not care. And I, you know what happens when you go through ninth grade and you don't care? You fail it. That's what you do. You didn't do your work. I was quiet and I didn't communicate things. And they'd say, you had detention because you were late again. You didn't even show up for detention. And I'd be like, I don't care. You know, I mean, I just don't care. And those three licks the principal gave me, I didn't care about that either, but I was glad that was over. You know, at least I didn't have to do detention. So I did ninth grade again. So here's the interesting, I was thinking about this the other day. Basically, I went 9, 9, 10, 12. You say, you didn't do 11th grade. Well, I did 9 twice, got in 10th grade, got right with God, changed everything. Then I went into summer school and did an English class, caught me up, and then I was in 12th grade. 9, 9, 10, 12. That's how I did it, with a little summer school class. I'd got right with God in 10th grade, and boy, that changed everything about it, me and all about it. And I did that little, it was English literature class, summer school. I hated it, but I did it. But I tell you, I just got right with God, and everything I wrote in that class was witnessing. And believe it or not, I had one of those teachers that it loved everything I wrote. So I was doing that, and then the next year I was back on schedule, graduated on time. Amazingly, I was just trying to figure that out. I said, I don't even know the sequence, but that's what it was. 9, 9, 10, 12. And then, Daniel there, he does, 9, 10, 11, 12, college. All of it right there together. Amen. You know, gets it all done together. So I wasn't quite on that schedule, but anyway. But you go through these grades, you go through these phases, you go through these processes in your life, and you wonder how things will turn out, but God already knows how they're going to turn out. Amen? You're right? That's why we follow Him and trust Him, but those times of waiting are tough. But the Bible says right here, God will renew the strength of those who will just wait on Him. Waiting is trusting. Waiting is just trusting God, really, that God's going to work it out. One commentary says, the promise at hand is universally true. God is always the champion of the humble spirit. But more specifically, He will someday restore Israel and Judah to strength and prominence. So there is some millennial promises included in this. But then God goes on through the prophet to utter one of the greatest promises of the entire Bible, speaking of verse 31. Another commentator says the meaning of the Hebrew is simply, they shall lift up the wings as eagles. The figure of the eagle therefore denotes or implies strength and vigor of purpose. An elevation above the world, communion with God, and a nearness to His throne as the eagle ascends towards the sun. You wait on God, you wait on God, you wait on God, and eventually God can lift you up and let you soar in His direction. Amen? But you got to get in the valley. You got to go through a low point before you ever get lifted up to soar. Amen? Right? Kids go through that school, they go through all that hard work, they go through all of that, and then finally that graduation comes and beyond. Amen? And the Lord can lift you up and exalt you. So we have here the benefits of just divine waiting. Waiting on the Lord. So when you, like Israel, feel faint, look up to the Lord, trust in the Lord, and wait for Him to exalt you in due time. Amen? The Bible talks about that. If you'll wait on the Lord, He'll exalt you in due time. So let's think about this today. I'm going to give you a few thoughts. Number one, divine waiting develops patience. So that's kind of what I'm talking about today, waiting and brings patience. Divine waiting develops patience. Israel had to wait on God. They had to go through captivity. They had to go through some hard things. They had to wait on the Lord to restore them. And Israel, by the way, will be waiting on the Lord to restore them in the millennial reign as well. And then you understand the implications of it in your own Christian life. In Romans 5:3, the Bible says that we glory in tribulations also. Why would you glory in tribulations? You don't enjoy tribulations, do you? You don't enjoy the school. You don't enjoy the exams. You don't enjoy all the stuff that you got to go through in life. You don't enjoy these things. Wait a minute. Paul said, we glory in tribulations. Why? He said, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. It's bringing about a good virtue that you need. Don't pray for patience, you'll have trouble. You're going to have trouble anyway, you might ought to pray for patience. Amen? Right? That might be a better way of looking at that thing. You're going to go through trials of your faith, and you're going to need some patience to wait on God. So don't be afraid to pray for patience, because it is a good virtue. It is something that we need. And the Bible says, tribulations worketh patience. Now, there's times, folks, when we just cannot make it work out. And all we can do is pray and wait to see when God's going to move, and how God's going to move, and what God's going to do. There's times we just cannot make it happen or work out the way we want it to. Have you ever told God, God, ideally, this is how I'd like to see things go? Ideally, I'd like to see it happen like this. And Lord doesn't work in ideals a whole lot sometimes, right, as far as that goes. He has His own way of doing things, and He has His own purpose, and working patience in your life, that ability to just trust God through the trial and the tribulation and through the valley, is what God's working up in your life and in your heart. And it makes you stronger. Patience develops as we pray and wait on God to move. You hear the one about the little girl? The mom asked the little girl, would you like an ice cream sundae? She said, no, let's get it today. Patience, right? Didn't have none. Good things come to those who wait. You've heard that one before, right? Good things do come to those who wait. And like I say, you go through school, you go through all the hard work, you go graduation, it eventually comes. Eventually. That's an interesting word, too. And eventually. Eventually, when's it going to get better? Just hold on, eventually. Eventually you'll graduate. Eventually you'll get through this. It'll happen in time. Stay with it. Stick with it. It's hard. It's grueling. It's taxing. But the rewards will come. And one of the things is you develop patience, which is just the ability to trust God. Not to panic. Not to be filled with anxiety. But just to trust God with it. James 1:3. James used the same terminology that Paul did. Knowing this, because we know some things, right? We know some things, therefore we can trust and wait, right? James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh, what's the word? Patience. He says, I know this. The trying of your faith, number one, the trying of your faith is going to happen. I know that. Number two, it's going to work patience into your character, which is a good thing. Then he said in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. That you may be mature and complete and stronger through it all. That's what he's saying. James wrote about trying times just like Paul did, and he said, both of them said, it's going to produce something good. Patience is a good thing. Patience is strength. Patience is faith. Patience is the ability to say, God has this. It matures you, it completes you by endurance and perseverance and time. Eventually, it's going to work out, right? Someone said it like this, patience does not grin and bear things stoically, but accepts them cheerfully as therapeutic workouts planned by a heavenly trainer who is resolved to get you up to full fitness. So we know that God is trying to make us more spiritually fit. We know that God is trying to make you a stronger believer, a stronger person. Therefore, we endure the trying times, we endure the valley, but we know God's in it with us, God's on the other side, God has a purpose, and one of them is to build up this virtue of patience in us to where we can better trust God the next time we get into a situation like that, because we will. right? This is a life of faith. Amen? So this divine waiting will develop patience, which is a good thing in your life. Number two, let me say number two, divine waiting strengthens faith. Strengthens your faith. They waited on the Lord, and the Lord did some things for them according to Isaiah 40:31. Now, let me read this one to you. In Psalm 27, the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Y'all hear that? Just stop right there. The Bible says, wait on the Lord, right? That's a command. Wait on the Lord. But he goes on to say, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. That's Psalm 27. It sounds like Isaiah 40:31, just different wording, doesn't it? Same message, right? If you wait on the Lord, he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So he says twice, wait, in that verse. Wait on the Lord. Two times he emphasized, wait on the Lord. And he said, he shall strengthen thine heart. That is, he's going to make you stronger in faith. He's going to build your trust. Wait. And he says it again, wait. Why? Because it might take a while. You've been praying something for a while. I've heard of people praying for certain things for 40 and 50 years before they get the answer. But they were waiting on the Lord and the timetable of God. 40 or 50 years, by the way, doesn't really, that's not a lot of time to God, but it is to us, right? I mean, 40 or 50 minutes can be a while. Amen, right? You know, they told Maria, your Saturday, you know, third day, you look out, third day's going, you know, might be rough. And she told me yesterday, she said, this is the longest day. You're trying to get through a day like that, you know? And sometimes you're going through something, and boy, those are long days, right? Of just waiting and trying to be patient. It's hard to be a patient apart from trusting God, right? You got to say, God, I declare, I'm not very patient, Lord. I really want to get done with this. I really want to have this finished. I really want to get on to something else better, right? Lord, I just don't have the time for this, we think. I don't have time for this. You never have time for being sick, amen, right? I don't have time for this kind of thing. It's hard to wait on God without trusting Him. Patiently waiting for His next word. Patiently waiting for His next action. Patiently waiting for Him to give the next turn or assignment in your life. Are you there? Have you been there? You will be soon, probably. Are you praying about some things right now? You ever read in the Psalms where the psalmist would say, how long, Lord? You ever prayed that one? Lord, how long? You know what that is? That was somebody who was needing some patience, right? And they were just asking God, how long is it going to be? Now, but listen to this. Like that eagle. That eagle patiently waits sometimes for hours for just the right wind so that he can soar to new heights. Sometimes that eagle will stay in that nest on the side of a mountain, already up high, but wanting to go even higher. He's built for this. His wings are built for this. Why God says, you'll have wings as eagles. He's built for this, but sometimes that eagle waits and waits, maybe for hours, to get just the right wind and the right angle so that then he can launch and, boy, he can do some soaring then, and he can see for miles when he's up there looking for prey or whatever. But he just wants to soar. God made him to do that. But sometimes he has to wait a long time to get just the right wind. But get this. The eagle is already strong and powerful, regardless. The eagle is already up there pretty high anyway. But the eagle is stronger and more powerful when God sends that wind and enables him to soar higher, faster, stronger, and farther. Get the picture? So sometimes you might think, hey, I'm strong, I can handle this. You know what? You can do a whole lot more with the help of God. You can do a whole lot more when God enables and empowers you and God gives you the wind. By the way, for us, that's the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you're sometimes just waiting and waiting for hours, weeks, months, years, whatever it is. But you're waiting. But God at the right time will send the right conditions, the right circumstances, the right winds. And you go farther and faster and higher, closer to God, towards the sun, the sky. Communion with God takes you higher. Amen. Trust in God takes you higher. Stronger faith takes you higher and higher. Israel waited on God and He enabled them to get returned from that captivity. We get weary, but when we take the time to read your Bible. I read this the other day. You know what one of the biggest enemies to prayer is? I don't have time. One of the biggest enemies to taking time, take time to be holy, the song says. Be still and quiet before the Lord. Amen, right? There's benefits in that, right? But what we say is, I know I ought to be reading my Bible more, I just don't have time. I know I ought to pray more, I just don't have time. I know I ought to trust God more. Well, you know why you can't trust God more? Because you haven't been doing those other things. You got to take the time to do these things in order to get the benefits of it so your faith will get stronger, right? So we trust God to help us with these things. And when we do that, our faith will grow and we can soar. Faster, farther, higher. Amen, right? And God will help us to do that. But we have to take the time. Preached on it last week. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Okay, well, there it is. Again, we know something. We know this. All things work together for good. But it doesn't work together in a hurry. It doesn't work together as fast as I want it to. It doesn't work together. Ideally, like I've told God, I think it should work, right? So we wait on God. But we know it's going to work together, right? We know that God is going to work it together. We also know this in Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So as that wind empowers and enables that eagle, He waited for that right wind, and now He can soar. You know what? We get enabled with that power. The Spirit of God, the breath of God, amen, the wind of God. And exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think or imagine, God can do, amen, by the power that worketh in us. So the Lord here, as you're just waiting on God, divine waiting, waiting on God, it develops your patience. It strengthens your faith. Let me go to number three. Divine waiting produces peace. Produces peace. The rewards finally come. Amen. The graduation finally comes. You finally graduate from school. You finally graduate from college. You finally graduate from that trial of your faith. Amen. Rewards come in time. Now listen to this one, Psalm 37. I'm giving you a lot of verses here, but Psalm 37. Rest in the Lord. Rest means be at peace. Rest in the Lord, and listen to this, and wait patiently for Him. Now this one added the word. Not just wait for the Lord. This one says wait patiently for the Lord. Psalm 37:7. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Don't worry about that crowd out there. You just wait patiently on God. Don't worry about that crowd that oppresses you out there. Don't worry about that crowd that seems everything seems to work out for them and makes you jealous. Don't worry about that crowd. He said, you wait patiently on God and God will strengthen and help you. Isaiah 30:18, and therefore will the Lord wait. Man, you know God's patient. You know that's the attribute of God. He's patient. God's never in a hurry. You ever heard that? Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment, and listen to this, blessed are all they that wait for him. Blessed could be at peace are all they that wait for him. You see that verse in Isaiah 30:18 says the Lord waits, and then blessed or at peace are those that wait for him. God's not in a hurry. God's got a timetable. God's always on time. You say he's 4 days late with Lazarus. No, he wasn't. Nobody said he was 4 days late. He was on time to do what he was going to do, right? The Lord's always on time. You remember in the book of Genesis, Abraham got ahead of God, didn't he? 25-year promise for the promised son Isaac. Did Abraham get impatient? Did Abraham make a rash and hasty decision? Did Abraham spoil everybody's peace by doing that? Absolutely. When you don't wait, the Lord's waiting. In that case, the Lord was waiting 25 years. It wasn't ideal. You're already 75, you're going to have a baby. The Lord's going to wait 25 years to give it to you. That's not ideal. Abraham probably said, Lord, that's not ideal. That's just not ideal. But they didn't wait. And Ishmael comes along. And there's not a whole lot of peace with his descendants, even to this day. They spoiled peace by not waiting. Somebody has said this, your patience makes others feel more comfortable around you. More comfortable. Your patience makes other people feel more at peace around you. You ever been around a very anxious individual? Does that rub off on you? You ever been around somebody that's just, boy, they're fidgety, they're anxious, everything, you know, boy, and they're, boy, that sort of gets you uncomfortable, doesn't it? You ever been around somebody, boy, they're calm. Calm, cool, collected. Their confidence helps you, right? That is a true statement. Don't you believe that? You think about Abraham and Sarah in that situation. Both of them were anxious. Both of them were agitated. One of them probably causing more anxiety for the other, and their negative vibes just hindering each other all through that whole thing. Sarah came up with an idea with the maidservant Hagar and all of that, and they were just anxious and they were just agitated, and by doing that, they were working on each other. When one person has some peace and calm, it can have a good impact on others around you. Did you know marriage is more at peace when one can calm the other? You ever have those times when you're both sick? Boy, that's fun, right? You ever have those times when you're both worried and scared to death and you can't seem to help each other out? You've been there, right? But if one can have a spirit of calm, that can help the other one out. If one is patient under stress, that can have a good positive influence on the other. Then patience leads to peace, doesn't it? Why is patience important? It's important to your peace. That's why. Put that together right there. Do I need patience? Do you need peace? Do you have peace when you're impatient? Not usually, right? If you're anxious and agitated and you're not at peace because you're not patient. And when you're not patient, you're not at peace. Calm down, trust God, help others find peace by patiently just waiting on God. In verse 31, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, a young lost man told me one time, I never forgot what he said. He admitted something to me. He said, I'll admit, the church-going Christians that I know do seem to have more peace about themselves than other people. I said, that's a good observation. And you can have that peace as well. Because it's a good observation, but there's a reason for it. They trust God with their problems. They pray about it. They put it in God's care. They wait on the Lord. And they develop patience, stronger faith, and more peace because of it. I thought that was very insightful for, you know what that meant? It meant that he had some good testimonies around him at least. And he saw in those people something that he didn't have. And the way they had it was because they trusted the Lord. And it was a testimony to that young man. In Philippians 4, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. You know the phrase, it means don't be anxious about everything. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Well, that's a great remedy right there, amen? But he tells us what to do for us. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Eventually, peace will take over. Eventually, the circumstances will work out. Waiting on God is the path to patience. Warren Wiersbe said about this, in the emergencies of life, God helps you soar like the eagle. In the daily routine of life, He helps you walk patiently. Both are the working of His mighty power. Emergencies of life, you need to soar. God enable you to do it. Just daily routine, you just need to walk patiently. God will help you do it. Whatever that situation is, God is there. Waiting is a matter of patience. Patience is a matter of waiting, especially waiting on God to work things out, as He promised in Romans 8:28, in His way, in His time, for His purpose, and for His glory and your benefit as well. Right? For His glory and your good. I don't want patience. Yes, you do. It brings peace. If you'll learn to be a more patient person in Christ, you'll be a more peaceful person too. Right? It doesn't mean you're lazy. It doesn't mean you have no ambition. No, it's not that at all. It means you trust that while I can't do anything, I'm trusting that God is working behind the scenes in ways that I cannot see. Knowing this, God is at work. Amen? And that develops patience, which strengthens your faith and produces peace in your heart and life. Will you bow your heads with me this morning, please? Let's stand to our feet. No music this morning. Let's just stand, and this altar is open. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the promises. Thank you, Lord, for the peace that you can give. Lord, I pray that you'd help us right now. God, you would do something in us. Lord, to just bring about that patience and that peace and that strength of faith, God, that we so many need right now. Lord, meet the needs, I pray. In Jesus' name. Come this morning if you need to come. You come get on this altar, music or not. You come on, get on this altar. Have a time of prayer. Lay it at Jesus' feet. Trust the Lord with it. Several are coming today.